British forces are currently deployed on 39 operations across 46 countries. But what are they doing in these remote and far-flung locations? The FBS joined up with the MOD to find out what life's really like for those on ops. This time, we're having a brew with the Royal Navy on board HMS Kent.
I've got PO Stansfield and AB Castello here with me. Has everyone got a brew with them?
Yes.
Cool. So what's your wet of choice then? We'll start with you, Vicky.
So I'm drinking Nescafe Zero.
Yeah.
Intenso.
Ooh.
With a dash of milk.
Dash of milk. So what? How would we say that in the Navy? Coffee white one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Claire?
I'm actually having this, so it's strawberry, aloe and cucumber. It's meant to like cleanse you. So
ooh,
I'm actually
nice.
On that at the minute, yeah.
Yeah, and you can top it up just a bit of hot water.
Yeah, yeah.
Good to go. Very nice. I'm simple as well. Just a coffee white one. Mm. And we're good to go from there. So the team at the Ministry of Defence has given us a selection of questions and topics to discuss. But before we do that, can we just go around and introduce ourselves? So we'll start with you, Claire, please. Just what you do on board, where you're from, and we'll go from there.
Right, so I'm Abby Castello. I'm a writer on board, and I deal with stuff like people's pay, move and tracking the ship. So every 24 hours, like, our location needs to be like updated on JPA. I also deal with travel, S71, so that's like people on board needs to be fed and stuff like that.
Ship's administrator, basically.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
You run the behind the scenes.
Stuck behind a computer, yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Vicky?
So I'm PO Stansfield. I am the gas turbine and transmissions engineer on board. Look after our sprint engines, give the ship its maximum power capability, and I also maintain both shaft lines from anything from the gearbox all the way down to the propeller. All that kit belongs to me.
Cool. So while Claire's behind a computer in the ship's office, you're in an engine room making sure that we can run where we need to go and all of that kind of stuff. Cool. My name's Lieutenant Pierce Tattersall. I'm one of the officers of the watch on board, which basically means I just drive the ship. I get told where to go by the navigator and I just follow the route. I've also got a few other secondary jobs on board, including organising this podcast. So let's get started. So we've been on Operation Fortis, which is the operational name for the carrier strike group's deployment in 2021. We spent the first month conducting Exercise Strike Warrior off the north coast of Scotland, working with HMS Queen Elizabeth, the rest of the group, and other NATO ships, and then went down to the Bay of Biscay and exercised off Portugal with NATO ships from SNMG-1 and SNMG-2, as well as a few Allied submarines. What's been the best bit of it so far?
The best bit so far for me was actually getting a run ashore in Alicante. Obviously, with the situation with COVID, we didn't really know if that would have been possible, but it was really nice just having a break from that, like working hard, but also playing hard.
Yeah, it's been busy, hasn't it? Really, really busy. But the tempo has kind of been non-stop. So we've been in defence watches quite a bit, haven't we?
Yeah, exactly.
So defence watches are where we go 6 hours on and then 6 hours off. And you do that so that there's people closed up 24 hours a day to deal with any sort of situation. But it can be quite busy and quite tiring quite quickly.
Yeah.
So it was nice to get ashore.
MEs do 12s.
Yeah.
So for my department, we do 12-hour shifts. And a lot of the time, apart from our main job, we have secondary jobs like Lieutenant Tattersall, and we'll stand watches and we do 3 hours about. So we'll do 3 hours on and then we'll have an on-off watch and then we go back on watch and then same. And it can be quite grueling after 12 hours, especially when you're doing it for 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah, definitely. It's a completely different way of living, isn't it? Mm-hmm. In terms of looking ahead a little bit, what are you kind of looking forward to being with the carrier and CSG?
I'm kind of hoping that if we do get Japan as a stop, Fuji,
yeah,
just because that'll be incredible.
Yeah,
it'll be another tick off.
Yeah,
things I've done.
Yeah,
yeah. I think for me, I'm just kind of soaking it all in because it's my first deployment, and I just want to enjoy every moment. I know there's like good times and bad times. Even the bad times, like I just want to take everything in. because it's an experience at the end of the day, isn't it? So
yeah, definitely. And I think it's what the first large carrier deployment in 25 years or something like that. Why do you think it's so important?
Is it to build a relationship with other countries?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. It's one of those things, isn't it? We've just left the EU and the government's pushing the kind of global Britain franchise, sending an aircraft carrier and an aircraft carrier group around the world to have relations with countries like Spain, Jordan and Japan, among others, is really, really important.
Well, it just expands our trading capabilities as well, doesn't it? And puts us back to being a blue neighbour rather than...
Yeah.
The fact we shrank back down to having no aircraft carriers and we weren't as regarded as we probably once were in terms of being formidable with size and capability. And now we've kind of restored that. So we need to push out and make sure that everybody knows that.
Like show off a bit, yeah.
Did you either of you come up when we did the, it's called the FOTEX, when we took the photos with the NATO ships last
So time. I was doing Fizz at the upper deck, well, just after it finished. And it gave me goosebumps a little bit. I know that sounds a bit like throbbing, but it was really nice seeing all the ships that close and stuff. Yeah.
16 ships and a submarine. It's quite an impressive sight.
Yeah,
500 yards from one.
It's impressive how quickly that submarine disappeared, though. Blink and you missed it.
Yeah, exactly. You've seen the jets take off, haven't you?
From the carrier. I think I have, yeah. I think when we were doing a RAS one time, I think I saw that from a distance, yeah.
Definitely.
Sat up on a forecastle. Just before we went to the Barents, when we were playing around with it then, me and my oppo went and sat on the, up by the 4-5 gun, and we was watching them take off, and it was quite surreal just how slow they seemed to just sort of take off.
It's elegant, isn't it? The way they
do it. They just literally look like they're not going to make it. And then it's like, that's not going fast enough to get off there. It's not. Oh, no, it's up.
But the way they come in as well, it's really kind of nice and smooth and controlled. How do you find downtime? What do you do to kind of to relax?
So for me, to be honest, 12 works better for me because as much as you've got a 12-hour long period to work through, you also get a 12-hour off watch.
Yeah.
Where you get time to rest and recuperate, get quite a bit of sleep. You can go and do Fizz, so exercise on the upper deck.
Yep.
Read. I've managed to get through 3 books. Gym defense watches.
Nice.
And you get time to do a bit of recreation, so play Switch. You know, have a brew.
Yeah.
Have a wet, whatever. It's quite nice.
You just kind of chill out.
Yeah.
You got a Kindle, haven't you? Which is.
Yeah.
Great for, especially because there's not much space on board. We do have a ship's library, but it's nice to be able to just have your own stuff for yourself. Do you have a Kindle?
I really don't like reading, to be honest. No. So not my thing. I did try to get into it actually in defense watches, but it didn't work out. I was just falling asleep at that laptop.
What do you do to relax then?
Well,
apart from your strawberry and aloe tea.
Yeah. To get away from like just everyday life on the ship, I just like doing Fizz.
Uh-huh.
So I try to find time to do Fizz, but it's really hard in sixes. So I just find myself coming off watch and just rushing straight to bed.
Yeah.
I remember when I first did sixes, I used to skip scran just so I could sleep.
Yeah.
So it is hard trying to find that balance in sixes. I'm still trying to like work my way around it, but we have been trialing eights, haven't we? So that's been amazing compared to sixes. Like, 8 hours on is like grim, but when you get that 8 hours off, you can do a lot more things. And we even had a chance last time to do some on-watch phase and stuff like that. So it's good, yeah.
So do you go to circuits or do you like to do your own thing?
No, I've been to circuits once, but I kind of just like doing my own thing. So most of the times I go to the Windwell and just do weights and stuff.
So we've got a couple of different places where you can do Fizz on board. One of those is the Windwell. So our towed array is down there at the minute, but there are a few weights down there. Up on the upper deck, there's some weights and a couple of rowers put on the one of the platforms. The flight deck, when we're not at flying stations, is open for circuits, which is run by our physical trainer on board, who normally does the circuits once or twice a day. So there's plenty of opportunity and scope to do Fizz. It's just managing your own time, really, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
It's better now that we've got through the bay. So obviously, when we're in UK waters, the sea state is variable. at best. At best. Like, I don't mind it when it's rough. I prefer it when it is bouncy because it's funny. And the scran queue is always empty. It's easier to get food.
Yeah,
however, for me, there's nothing better than running in the sunshine. So if I was at home, I would obviously be running with the dog.
Yeah.
And we'd be off on a little jolly adventure.
Yeah.
But up here, as soon as you start getting that warm sun and it's all like, it's better for running on the upper deck, I think. So I'll go and do my own.
Yeah.
I'm not really into mandated fizz.
Yeah. Well, and hopefully with the, now that we're in the Mediterranean and heading kind of south and east, it should be nicer weather throughout. What type of dog do you have?
So I have a beagle.
A beagle? Yeah. You go running with it?
Yeah. He's a bit stop start sometimes. Once you get him past that, come on, we're going for a run.
Yeah.
He does run quite well, but yeah, he's my boy, so.
What's his name?
Oscar.
Oscar. Yeah, Oscar nice. The beagle. You got any pets? Well,
so back home I do. So we've got growing up, I've had loads of pets. So we've had dogs, cats, had rabbits, birds, we've literally had loads of animals, but I don't own a house here yet in the UK, so I don't have a pet.
Yeah. Do you want to talk a bit about where you're from?
Yeah, so
how you kind of joined the Navy?
Yeah. So I'm from St. Vincent. I don't know if many people know that because it's a very small island next to Barbados. And I decided I wanted to join the Navy in 2017. So I signed up. It was February 2017 when I signed up. It was kind of a long process, and it is kind of hard trying to apply from back home because obviously you have to send off documents, and then that takes a while. You have to wait for them to respond before you can move on to the next step. And I grew up there all my life, so it was a big step moving from the Caribbean to the UK. But yeah, loving it so far.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And you do got another couple of years left, haven't you?
Yeah, I got a couple of years left, so it should be good. I try to go back home once a year anyways, mostly for Christmas. I like spending Christmas with my family.
Did you manage to get back last year?
I did get back last year. It was a bit more of a hassle with COVID. Had to have a lot of documentation and obviously your negative COVID test and stuff like that, but it was worth it.
I'll jump back to you, Vicky. Do you want to talk about where you're from and kind of how you joined the Navy?
So joined the Navy 31st of August 2008. They tried to make me go air engineer. I dismissed that straight away. I wanted
to. You could have been flying.
No, I prefer bigger engines. The principles are the same. It's a gas turbine. Helicopters have gas turbines, but for me, I like the marinized version. Mm. So, more power, basically.
Yeah.
I joined as a baby stoker in 2008. Just worked my way through. Live in the country. Obviously, I'm Northern. Tell by my Northern tones.
I couldn't tell, no.
I call it the Shire. I feel like it's in between, Mordor and some sort of other Tolkien reference. But from a town called Todmorden, which is in West Yorkshire, on the Lancashire border as well. So my backyard is Pennines. Mm-hmm. And I've grown up sort of just exploring there, really. And I've always had sort of a wanderlust appetite. So for me, joining the Navy was a logical thing because it gave me the freedom to sort of expand my horizons. So I've had I've been quite fortunate as a kid growing up with family holidays and whatnot.
Yeah.
In terms of, I spent summers in Monaco, been to other places, but the Navy's given me the footsteps really to go further afield. So this deployment for me will be the furthest I've been away in terms of traveling anywhere in the world. I've done a lot of Europe myself, gone backpacking and stuff around places, but in terms of getting out and the wider reach, this has been the most.
No, definitely. And that kind of sense of wanderlust, I think it's a reason a lot of people do join the Navy, the ability to go to far-flung places and places you wouldn't normally go on holiday either. I mean, saying that, we've just been to Alicante on the Costa Blanca. I think a fair few people have been around the corner to Benidorm before and things like that. But different stops will offer different things, won't they? So hopefully get to Petra at some point. Out in Japan, there'll be plenty of culture, won't there?
Yeah, there will be.
Be different. In terms of, so we're going to be spending a lot of time over the next 6 to 7 months at sea. What is it kind of you like about being at sea, and then on the flip side, what do you not like at sea? What do you kind of miss about it?
I guess when you're at sea, it is like, well, it depends what state we're in, I should say. You kind of get into a routine. I feel like every day feels like the same. So you kind of get into a routine. And I sometimes like having like my own little routine. So I think that's what I like about being at sea. I like when it's slightly, slightly rough. Like when it rocks you to bed, I love that. It just puts me straight to bed.
Yeah.
In terms of what I don't like, not being able to do face. So when it gets that bad, or if the upper deck goes out of bounds or anything like that,
yeah.
And you literally have nowhere to do face, or if you're streaming, you can't go to the wind chill either. So for that, I kind of go mad a bit. And obviously defense watches.
Yeah. Do you think people would be surprised at how much we rely on the ability to do exercise, how it keeps us most of us sane?
It does keep you sane. I feel like there's only so much you can do. I feel like we're kind of just trapped, aren't we?
Yeah.
So there's only so much you can do. And I know other people have their different outlets. Like you read, or people do other things. But for me, I literally go mad if I don't do it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people on board would probably agree with
you. Yeah. But it is like a nice, getting into a nice routine. That's what I like about being at sea.
I like looking at the sea. So when you watch the sea state, and the waves, see like the occasional dolphin, porpoise, whatever.
Yeah.
That's cool, but I like the fact that every ocean and every sea looks ever so slightly different.
Yeah.
And you can tell as soon as you've transited through. And
yep.
I like the idea that you're going somewhere, but you're not quite sure where. And I think with COVID this year, the last 2 years, whatever, it has literally been we are going somewhere, we just don't know where. Like with the diplomatic stops we got last time in Reykjavik and Gibraltar, that makes it worthwhile.
Yeah.
Like for me, that makes it worthwhile. And you can look at 1,000 different sunsets and not one will ever be the same.
Yeah.
So for me, there's still some kind of magic about it.
I think it's sunrises for me more than sunsets. So I get to see more of them than most as a bridge watchkeeper. I would agree with the sea. It's ever so subtly different.
I don't think I've ever really noticed that.
Yeah.
It is. So, like, at the minute, if you go up top, the ocean or the sea is like a deep blue.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you go to places in the Gulf, it's almost green.
Oh, is it? Okay.
And there's like, especially at night, if you look there just around it, the time it's going dark, you can see the algae glowing in the sea.
Yeah.
And
you've seen that
before. I've never seen it, no. I don't think I go up top enough.
Need to come up to the bridge more, clearly. Come see what's going on.
It's not the place to be, though.
No, but definitely. And it's especially where so last year we were up in the high north, in the Barents Sea, out in the Baltic, and then out in the North Atlantic, doing a lot of exercise to kind of prepare us for this trip. And you do notice the differences and things like that. But at times last year in the north, in the Barents, when we were working with the Americans, the sun wouldn't set.
Yeah.
Which is like, not many people can say they've gone through a day without the sun setting, which was really, really cool. For me, I think what I like most about being at sea is you're in your own little world almost, aren't you? You're still connected to people. You can still call home and talk to them. You still get the news and everything. But what you're doing is detached. And now that we're away and working with the carrier, it's going to be a little different than kind of typical deployments we've been on, because we're not as detached as where we previously thought. We've got to work with the carrier and work for them, make sure they're protected from submarines and things like that. I think the other good thing on here is the food. I think the chefs on here are amazing. What would you say is your favorite meal on board?
Favorite meal on board? I really like when they do like Italian, so like lasagna, or the spag bol's really nice most times.
I like it when they do the Moroccan style food.
Yeah.
So I like it when they've got couscous and tuna steaks with
definitely
salad.
I think in terms of the menu choices though, there's a fairly decent variety.
Yeah.
That really good Chinese night the other night, didn't
we? Yeah, Chinese night. We have like curry night and stuff. Yeah.
Scottish night.
Yeah. We haven't had a Caribbean night in a while, have we?
We did one last October.
Were you here for that one?
That was really incredible.
Yeah, we should do one soon.
We need to.
Definitely.
Put a good word in for us.
I will. I will try.
In terms of COVID, how do you think, what's it been like being on a ship compared to just at home? So obviously we had a bit of time, I I say, a little bit of time off just before we deployed, didn't we? Was it kind of weird coming from a restrictive COVID environment to on a ship where we're considered our own family bubble?
Personally, I prefer it because you've got the element of freedom to wander around without having to wear a face mask. And it's quite prevalent when we was in Alicante, having to walk around with a face mask in like 25 degree heat.
Just got used to not wearing
horrendous.
It.
Yeah. So, and you were very, in the Navy, obviously, as soon as we turn out of Pompey Harbour, Portsmouth Harbour, we lose all TV signal unless we're going on a certain course and bearing.
Yeah.
And therefore, we've been quite sheltered from the impact of COVID, I think.
Yeah.
And it's been quite nice, but then there's such a stark contrast when we get back alongside and we have to adhere to all the protocols and the procedures.
Yeah.
And you don't really realise just how much of an impact COVID has had until you're actually walking from a less extreme environment straight into it.
Yeah.
So
no, definitely. I think one of the good things is we're all 100% vaccinated, aren't we? So we've all had both shots on here. And that was something that was really pushed for before we deployed, which gives us that flexibility. But it's going to be hard throughout the trip because it's all dependent on how each country's doing at the time. So Spain, thankfully, we were able to get ashore in, but I think there's going to be some stops where we're going to just be unlucky, which will be frustrating, but we'll make the most of it and kind of go from there. So what's the weirdest thing to happen so far? On Kent, we'll go for.
On Kent? Weirdest thing? Well, there's been a lot of weird things on Kent, but I don't know. So on board, I'm can't really go into too much detail. I'm duty first aider on board, and I had my first casualty the other day, and I literally I was nervous. But so I think that's like the weirdest thing that's happened to me so far, like actually dealing with a real life casualty.
Without naming names.
Without naming names, obviously, and I can't say what happened, but yeah, that's probably the weirdest thing that's happened to me so far, like actually being put into that situation.
Did your training kick in?
It did. I was actually surprised because I always used to say, if I get a casualty, I might faint and become the casualty. But I really handled it well. I'm not going to lie. I was impressed with myself. So,
there you go. Well done. Because how many casualty exercises have we done? How many fires?
That's what I mean.
For?
We literally do loads of exercises where you never really think that you'd be put in a situation where, well, it's always obviously it's a possibility, but to get put in the situation where it actually happened. It was quite an experience for me. Yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Vicky? What's the weirdest thing that's happened on Kent so far?
For me, it would be obviously when we had to sample the fresh water.
Yeah.
So
one of our seals broke, didn't it? In fresh water.
Yeah. So I think that's probably it's not really anything weird. We have machinery breakdowns. It's just you become so used to dealing with them.
Yeah.
Nothing's.
I think people would find it like you have breakdowns. Like if my car breaks down, I've got to take it to the mechanic straight away. Whereas we just kind of get on and fix it, don't we?
Well, you don't really have a choice, though. If you lose, especially your sprint engines or any of your cruising engines, like the diesel engines, anything on the shaft line, as soon as that's gone. You are literally just a sitting target in the water because you will just stop dead in the water.
Yeah.
So if you don't fix it, there is no marine RAC.
Yeah.
We'll get the oars out and start rowing back.
Well, maybe not that much.
Well, I won't be rowing. I'll be like, you, start rowing.
Detailing people off. So during Strike Warrior, we had an issue with one of our sonars. And rather than go alongside, we had to go to anchor. So we went into anchor off Skye, one of these smaller little islands. What we didn't realise, though, as we were approaching, and what Navs didn't know as he was planning, is in this little bay, there must have been hundreds of different fishing boys. Have you seen them? They're like the small little orange. Some of them are just orange boys. Some of them are petrol cans that people have just tied down to mark where their fishing pots lie. Anyway, there was loads. And as we were driving in, normally we navigate off points of land and kind of go around there. We weren't navigating off that. We were just avoiding these fishing boys. So it was like a little obstacle course going in. It was really impressive to watch Navs and the captain maneuver it like that. But I'd not seen anything like that. Let's go back a bit, shall we? Let's talk a bit about how you prepared for deployment, because obviously it's quite a long time to be away from family and friends. How did you plan for it? How did you prepare?
I just don't have previous experience, to be honest.
But you've done quite a few deployments, haven't you?
Yeah.
On different ships. So.
I quite liked the fact, this sounds a bit chad really, but obviously the ship brought out an app. And it was sort of a mandatory checklist. And as much as I kind of begrudged doing that at first, because I thought,
I know everything.
This is not my first
rodeo.
It was kind of handy to have that. Oh, what if you've forgotten this?
Yeah, definitely. It's a nice little checklist. And in the app, you had to sign for different stages, didn't you? Which was really good.
So for me, so this is my first deployment. I didn't really know how to prepare myself. I've not really got any like responsibilities. Like I don't really have a house or like stuff like that. So I didn't really have that much preparing to do, obviously compared to, I imagine, you and yourself. So mine was more so mentally preparing myself to be away. It is a bit easier for me because I'm already away from my family anyway. So I'm already kind of in that mental mindset, but I've got a boyfriend here in the UK, so it was just kind of preparing myself to be away from him for that long. Yeah, he's in the Navy as well. He's a submariner. Mm-hmm. He likes stuff.
So he must be away for...
So he's actually never done a patrol. So he's on a boat, but it's down at the minute, so he's actually never done a patrol.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But yeah, so for me, it was all mental, not...
Yeah, that was kind of the hardest thing, wasn't it? Kind of planning to say goodbye.
Yeah,
so my fiance and I, we kind of had this hanging over us since we joined, I joined the ship. And so it's been a year and a half or whatever. Yeah. Oh, we're going away for 7 months soon. It's like, oh my God. But we're away now, aren't we? And every day.
Yeah, we're actually doing it, yeah.
It's a day closer to
home. It was a massive build-up though, wasn't it?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, you'll find as well that to the start, of your deployment, the first 4 weeks is always the hardest. It always drags.
Yeah,
it's that, oh my God, I feel like you've been away for ages.
Yeah,
and then the middle bit sort of just goes quite quickly, and it all sort of blends into one stop after another. And then the final like month, you get back into that. Oh my God, I just want to get home now, and it's been a while.
Cool. Well, thank you both for your time. I think we've all finished our wets now, haven't we?
Time for a new one.
Time for a new one. We've got plenty of biscuits. So thank you for joining us. And I hope people enjoy the podcast.
Thanks for listening to Fancy a Brew. Check out other episodes at bfbs.com/podcasts.